I wanted to show you as we prepare for Christmas. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because, after all, it is still, well, November, right? And I don't want to skip past what we've just come through. And sometimes I think Thanksgiving gets overlooked a little bit because we're ready to jump to Christmas immediately. But I got to tell you, I am looking forward, and we are preparing and preparing in many ways for Christmas. And we're going to be talking about the Prince of Peace this year for Christmas. So that was just a little 24-second teaser video that each week we're going to be talking about the theme of the Prince of Peace as we head into Advent and we head into the Christmas season. So I want to just encourage you to come back each week and participate as we lead up to one of the two greatest days we have in the church, right? The birth of Jesus. And then we celebrate later on Easter. But let's not get too far ahead. I'm looking forward to Christmas and what we're going to celebrate. So I want you to invite friends and family and neighbors and everyone you know to come and participate week after week as we lead up to this Christmas day. And I'm looking forward to it. We have so many things planned. And I think about the children's program next week and some of the things that we'll do as a church body. And I think about the cantata that is being practiced and readied for you for December the 23rd. I got to think about the calendar. Yeah, 23rd. And then especially we're going to have a 4 o'clock Christmas Eve service here. That way, for those of you that may have to work, you can get off of work and come to the 4 o'clock service. And for those of you that celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, we'll get you out so you can be to your dinner and your family time that evening. So I want you to put on your calendar and mark that time to come and celebrate as a church family together. So there's your little teaser for Christmas. But this week, I want to finish up a little bit. I just felt like there was one more thing that as we were discussing through Proverbs, and that's where we're going to be one last time, I promise, just one last time, in Proverbs, at least one last time for this calendar year, okay? and so we're going to talk about Proverbs today, and we're going to be in chapter 6. And so for those of you that like to follow along in your Bible, on your phone or your tablet or ever, however you like to follow along, we're going to read right off the bat the scripture. And we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to look specifically at verses 16 through 19, okay? I'm going to read first out of the NIV. That may be the same you read. It may be a little bit different, so the words might be a little different from what you have in front of you. But here is God's word from Proverbs chapter 6 from the NIV. It says in verse 16, "There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Woo! You guys are excited about this one today, aren't you? I could tell. I could tell. Because sometimes Scripture just hits you right between the eyes, doesn't it? There's no filter, there's no guessing about what it says, it just hits it right there. And I want to read a second version to you. Every once in a while, you know me, I like to read different translations of the Bible, and I was reading actually the same scripture in the Message that Eugene Peterson translated. And the Message says the same scripture this way: "Here are 6 things God hates, and one more that he loathes with a passion." I think when we hear scripture, when it says, this is something that God loathes with a passion, makes me want to pay attention. Makes me go, I should probably note this. "Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family." Whew. Pretty direct. Pretty to the point. Things that God hates. And I don't know about you, but you know, I read that scripture, and every time that I've read this, this part before, and in verse 16, I struggle with one word there. Maybe it stood out to you. Something that God hates. To reconcile God, the God of love, and the fact that he hates it. So if there is something that God truly hates, maybe we should pay attention. And we should be perceptive to that. You know, oftentimes I think we as mankind, we can kind of consider ourselves, because we are his creation, we think about God and us being similar or the same because we're made in his image. And so sometimes we, you know, we have an attitude of mankind that, well, this really isn't so bad a sin. We do that sometimes. Or, this really isn't that bad. I mean, after all, I'm not out murdering people, right? And so this is okay. I don't know what, you know, I'm just going to be okay with this. And I think looking at just these verses here, there are things that God says, no, I'm not okay. And so we kind of get complacent about some sins. Let me be very clear here. Scripture is pretty straightforward that God detests sin. All of it. All of it. He detests all of it. And he is not very neutral about sin. He's not neutral about, well, these are the okay ones. And these are the really bad ones. He detests them all. And so in this particular list that we're looking at today, we're looking at these, you know, I saw it written one time, the seven deadly sins. Anybody heard that? The seven deadly sins. And so that phrase, that title was used for this. And so I want to back up just a little bit. If you still have your Bible open there, if you back up a few verses to verses 12 through 14, it gives a little bit of background there where it says, the scoundrel's activities. Now that's a word that's not used very much today, right? I mean, Sabrina, are you using the word scoundrel every day? You are. Okay, great. Good to know. Scoundrel is one of those words that I would have a feeling that maybe your grandmother would use more than you would. So, but a scoundrel's activities depicted in the use of his body and the seven deadly sins, both close with the same climactic line, who stirs up conflict or stirs up discord. So the scoundrel's activities, the things going on. Here God evaluates man's, I guess perverse was the only word I could come up with there. God evaluates man's perverse conduct from his viewpoint, God's viewpoint. The Lord made man. He made us with these great gifts and these abilities, and he gives us this wonderful mind that we can think and create with. But he is unhappy and he's displeased when we use these gifts, these abilities, this intelligence that we have, and we distort them. And we use them almost as instruments for Satan. Our eyes, our hands, our feet, our tongue are instruments of, you know, of unsurpassing skill. I mean, some of us can do things with our hands that are amazing. We can make things. We can grow things. You know, I have great difficulty growing things. I do not have a green thumb. I have a feeling Jerry's much better at this than I am. You know, some of you are probably really good at growing flowers. Some of you, you know, let's face it, you're good at things. You might be have the ability to use tools and create something, woodworking, I don't know. You know, some of you might be very good at handy at things around the house. I'm going to call my son out a little bit today. You know, maybe you're really good at plumbing. He's having a plumbing issue at his house right now. If you're really good at plumbing, he could probably use your help right now. But, you know, God gives us these abilities to do things and these gifts. And we use them oftentimes to do other things. And so God's word articulates and covers and states, these are things that I detest. So what kind of person would dare use these abilities? What kind of person would take these gifts that God has given us and use them for evil? God looks seriously at those who distort and use them for evil ways, and not to use them for what he intended them for. Every act that we perform is literally observed by God. Have you thought through that a little bit? Sometimes we do things, and we do that in the cover of darkness, right? We do it when no one's around. We do those things when we think no one's paying attention. And yet God is there. He witnesses. He sees those things. You know, a lot of times we can look through scriptures like this, and we see these seven things that are abominable sins, right? And sometimes we have a hard time reconciling. Wow, how can God really hate these things? But he does. I mean, isn't he a God of love? So how does a God of love hate? It's because of what we've done with his gifts and abilities. I look at verse 16 and these seven things that he hates. And if God hates them, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. It says there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. The maker and the giver cares about what we become, what we do, what we are involved in, and how we go about our everyday life. Verses 16 through 19 describe those. And so this pattern, you know, sometimes I've looked through some of these and some of the pattern has, you know, the where it says the six and the seven. And I was like, why did they do that? Why didn't they just say seven right off the bat? And I think sometimes I look at that and six and seven is kind of helps us as people as we think through it as a numerical list. And it also encourages us to recite lists. And oftentimes we are very good at memorization. And so listing them and numbering them does that very thing. But the Lord has this list of things that he hates. Attitudes, actions, deed. God demonstrates love for sinners. We see that in Romans chapter 5. But he hates sin. He loves the saint, he loves the person, but he hates the sin that they are involved in and the sin that they are a part of. Abomination, that's a word that we don't use very often either, abomination. Abomination is actually used in Proverbs several times. We actually see it even earlier in the Old Testament. It's used in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's used to describe those things which God finds completely outrageous. Completely unacceptable, an abomination. So here's that list. Here are those things. And the first three sins that you see in verse 17, they look at the body of each one of us. And I look at that word, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and a hands that shed innocent. And so we looked at this list and we see haughty eyes. Again, another word where we may look at that and, you know, how often do we use the word haughty? How many of you used the word haughty this week? Anyone? I didn't think so. Haughty eyes, okay? It's basically pride. That's what we're talking about here. Haughty eyes equals pride. That might be a better way to understand that. The eyes reveal the truth of our souls. They convey so much. How many times where you're talking to someone and you look them right in the eyes and you know that there's something else going on there, right? Have you ever done that? Where they may not necessarily speak the words, but you can see through their eyes that something else is going on there. You know, the eyes have the ability to announce anger, impatience, sorrow, sarcasm, guilt, but especially pride. Pride is usually the basic motive for all the other sins. So God detests haughty eyes. You know, pride, oftentimes we look at pride, and pride is to think of oneself better than we ought to. Pride says, lift yourself up. Pride says, me first. God gives us self-worth, and he gives us self-esteem. But Satan loves to come behind and pump us up and be prideful. It was pride that literally turned Lucifer into Satan. It's pride. It was pride that led Eve to disobey God and to eat that forbidden fruit. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Further on in Proverbs. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Isaiah chapter 2, the lofty look of a man shall be humbled and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. Haughtiness, pride. It is an abomination to God because at the end of the day, haughty eyes implies self-importance. Me first. Haughtiness means I'm focusing on me and it's about who I am and what I do. And it's taken the focus off of God. The second thing that we see on this list, or the second rung on the ladder, I kind of look at it as a ladder visually, God hates is a lying tongue. He is a God of truth, and he wants us to speak truth. Exodus chapter 20 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Remember that on the list? There's another list right there that you should be familiar with out of Exodus chapter 20. David prayed, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from my lying lips." Be on guard. Be on guard for what comes out of your mouth. The tendency that we have to tell untruths, to lie. We need to be more conscious of our words and be aware of the lies that we are speaking. When we speak the truth, we give an opportunity for the Spirit to actually work instead of lying. What benefit is sought to be gained or retained by lying? Oftentimes we can gain an advantage in this world today, right? Because we can tell a lie or tell a little white lie or tell, we can bend the truth a little bit because it benefits us a little bit. But Scripture tells us here that God hates lying. He hates a lying mouth. The third sin God hates is murder. Hands that shed innocent blood. God's sixth command literally says, "Thou shalt not murder." It's on that list that we have. Murder is heartless and cruelty. It is the utter deviation from God's perfect will for us. Those who strike out against the innocent, who strike out and murder the innocent. God, you know, I love the word hate. And that sounds funny, right? It sounds funny for me to say the word hate. But the fact that God hates this activity, this God of love, to dislike something so much. Think about the next rung on the ladder. We see it. It's scheming against the innocent. This is one that we probably don't think about too much. Verse 18 says, "A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil." Had to think through that one a little bit. That run to evil. The heart. I forgot I put that up there. The heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. Have we done that in our lives? Are we in the process of doing that in our lives? People that attempt to maneuver or trick other people out of their position or their possessions. That is literally hated by God because it's misuse of a great gift. The great gift of imagination. The imagination can be the womb to which evil can be created. People who plan evil plots, who work to scheme against people. I think about people who have been given a great ability to think, right? And oftentimes you see people who are very quick on their feet, who can think and scheme, and they can manipulate a conversation and turn you maybe in a way that you never thought about because they're very quick on their feet. They're very intelligent, and they have that a gift. And they love to turn a conversation in the way that they want it to go. That can be used for evil very easily. God has given you this tremendous gift of the mind, this tremendous gift to be able to think and process, to be very good with the use of words, but with just a little bit of a turn, you could use that to lead other people astray. And so we need to be aware of that. If God has given you the ability to think and think quickly on your feet, use that for His good, turning people to Him. Helping turn their focus to Him. God's people must be on guard against evil. Feet that run rapidly to evil. I had to think about that one a little bit too. Perhaps you know someone. I know a few people that it seems like it's almost like they have this thought process in their head that they do everything they can to run to something bad. It's almost like they're chasing it. You can just shake your head, I suppose, if you know someone like that. It seems like they're always going to whatever is bad or what is evil. And that is detestable to God. And so we got to think about these things. Verse 19 says, "A false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension, even amongst his brothers. A false witness. In essence, you're a liar. That's what it's saying. A false witness. You are a liar. I think I put a picture of Pinocchio up there, I think. That's a nice picture word for someone who lies. But verse 19, lying, again, is pointed out in this list of things that God hates. A slanderer by his, by his lies, causing people and even friends to be suspicious of one another, and causing dissension amongst his brothers. I don't know about you, but I've known some people over my life who are constantly doing that. We call them pot stirrers where I came from. You know, they're always looking to stir the pot, right? They're always looking to cause dissension. Man, if they can make you think about something and just stir the pot, as we used to say, God detests those things. You know, it's easy to spread gossip. It's easy to spread, and God calls us out to be peacemakers, right? Not pot stirrers. Psalm 133, as we heard Pastor Jillian read earlier, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." That would definitely not be a pot stirrer. That would not be someone who tries to stir up dissension amongst other people. Godly people sow seeds of unity, and they see seeds of peace, not seeds of division and strife. We literally see those very words in James. He doesn't look for pot stirrers. Don't stir up conflict. Are you someone who constantly, every time something is talked about, you got to throw in the, yeah, but, stirring up conflict, stirring it up? I think about this list, and it can be kind of straightforward. I think about these things that God truly detests. And so I have a question for you. When you look at this list, when you look at the things that we've talked about, any of those sound familiar to yourself? I hope not. Is there one of them that maybe you got your feelings hurt because they're like, gosh, I can't believe you're talking about that? It might be something that we need to go to God about. God, help me with this. Do I cause dissension? Do I stir the pot amongst people? Do I spread lies? Do I spread gossip? Do I have haughty eyes? Am I proud of who I am and what I've done and what I've accomplished? Do we have those things? My challenge to you this week is to look at this list, to go back over it before we encounter and embark on this Christmas season, to think about those things that God hates and detests, and go to him and ask for his help and his guidance to eliminate those from our lives, to help us as we go into this Advent season, before we prepare our minds and hearts to worship him, to love him, to focus on him, to deal with those things in our very own lives, the things that would pull us apart from him, those things that he detests. All of these things that you look at these lists, I think they're just acts of us wanting to be independent. It's like we make this very statement to ourselves. You know what? I got this. I got everything. I'll take care of it. I can spin the truth however I want. I can do this. I can lie. I can say what I want. I can stir up conflict. I can take care of this. Anytime that we make a statement like, I got this. What you've just done is you've set God over here on the shelf, or set him on the piano. Said, stay right there. I got this. Right? I got this. Let's bring him back into it. Because he loves to be there with us. He loves to empower us. He loves to give us the ability to be the true light that he wants us to be. He doesn't want to see us fail and fall because of these things that a fallen world loves to tell us to do and be a part of. And so my challenge this week is, or it's more of a question, I should say. Do you abide in any of these things? Do you look at this list of seven things and go, I probably should have to work on that one? Then do it. Go to God. Ask him for his guidance. Do you have friends and associates that came to mind when you saw this list? Do you? If you do, you might think about some of the people that you're hanging with and the influence that you should have on them rather than them on you. I know that's a big statement because I just told you to basically check who you're hanging out with, right? But who, if you have friends that fall on this list and they came to mind when you saw it, who is having impact? Are they impacting you or are you impacting them? I want you to think about that this week. So that's our seven things that God detests, our seven things that he cannot stand, that he cannot be a part of, that he doesn't want us to see in our lives, right? He doesn't want those things for us. I'm going to go back and I think about those, the haughty eyes, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush quick to evil, a false witness, and someone who stirs up conflict. It's a pretty good list. It's a pretty good list. So here's the commitment we're going to make. I want you to make this commitment with me. We're going to look at this list this week, heading into Advent. God, if this is true about me, okay? If one of these seven things is true about me, eliminate it. Remove it from me. Remove it from me. I do not want to be the person who is on this list. I want to be a person who is solely and totally focused on you and live in the way that you would have me live. Okay? Can you do that for me? Nobody's moving. Did I lull you to sleep? I figured I would have you on the edge of your seat or either mad at me this morning with this one. So, but I want you to do that this week, okay? Still nothing. Okay, all right. All right, I got you. All right, well, let me close in a word of prayer. If you'll do me a favor and everybody stand up. Let's go to God in prayer. And then I will pronounce a benediction upon the service this morning. Father, we come to you now. We think about the very list that you give us. The list of the things that you detest, that you hate. Father, if any of these applies to our life, just touch us, help us, assist us, so that we can eliminate those from our lives. Father, allow us to be a tremendous impact on the people around us this week, so that if we are friends and associated with people who do these things, that we can impact their lives for them not to follow down this path. Father, I thank you for this week. Be with us as we go forward. Allow us to be the light to the world around us. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in your name that we pray all these things. Amen.